This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm here, and welcome to episode 615 of Remarkable Results Radio. Now, welcome to the third part in a series with trainer Dave Hobbs. Dave Hobbs is the lead technical trainer and course developer for Delphi Products and Service Solutions. Dave talks about innovations in ADAS, calibrating radar education for tech and shop owners, brainstorming an ADAS class for your customers, and the power that we have in the automotive industry that we're deemed an essential business. Also hear Dave's surprising new acronyms, FRED, FRED, WARP, WARP, and EWFM, some new vocab for you. Hey, thanks for always tuning in and listening to the Aftermarket's original and premier podcast, Carm Capriotto, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy and Master Connector. And we are honored to have NAPA sponsor this show. You know, it's no secret we're facing a technician shortage, and you know how big I am on apprenticing. Well, NAPA Auto Care is addressing that. The free two-year apprentice program offers a variety of training to produce a technician with three ASE certifications. To learn more, members can visit on the web at member.napaautocare.com. Hey, never miss one virtual shop tour that we present each week for you. You can catch all the episodes on aftermarketweekly.com. And now you can listen to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Yep, Aftermarket Weekly is now a podcast. Find it on your favorite podcast listening app and set it as a favorite. Hey, find Dave Hobbs' previous episodes, and he's graced us with a bunch of great interviews and this episode's key talking points. Now, they reside at remarkableresults.biz/E615. Hey, make listening your homework. Bury yourself in audio. Hey, a warm welcome to Dave Hobbs again. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I am so excited. I want to let you know, Dave offered me three episodes just to talk about stuff. And I was giddy when he said yes. And he found the time in his schedule to come on and we'll talk Dave stuff, if you will. He's been on an Aftermarket Weekly. He's going to be on another one in the future. So thank you for giving like you are. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. We're recording this on the eve of Thanksgiving, talking about what we're thankful for. And I'm thankful for technology. It has given me a really good career. I love it. And the only thing about it is, it never disappoints. It never slows down in the involvement. And it always gives increasing challenges. And that's the hard part. So technicians watching, listening, I understand. I mean, just when you think you've got something nailed, it's like, okay, I can get into routine working on these vehicles, and then something completely comes along that throws you a curveball, and you got to learn all over again. Carm, you know that, was it a nursery, not a nursery rhyme, it's an old story, a fable, Rip Van Winkle?
Yeah.
You took a nap, you woke up, it's 100 years later. I'm Rip Van Winkle several times a year. It depends on the topic.
You are probably like a little kid in a candy store.
Exactly.
Because you go, ooh, let me have that. I want that. Let me tear it apart. What is this? And now with, BorgWarner and Delphi, I mean, two huge important technology companies.
Well, see, I had an opportunity to jump ship about the time that was all going to be sealed up this fall. And a friend of mine, I would love to work for the gentleman and the guy that worked underneath him, another good guy, people in the industry. It was another company, but it didn't seem exciting and challenging as much as the BorgWarner acquisition, because I look at their portfolio, I look at ours, and I go, more cool stuff. I mean, they've got turbochargers. They're going to start spinning with, instead of exhaust gas, I'm not sure what you're going to call it now, electric blower, I guess, electric supercharger, but they're going to spin that stuff with 48 volts or 200 volts or whatever, electrification world. And of course, electrifying their transmissions, and they got a lot of other stuff, electric heaters for the EV world. So they've got a lot of things that I'm just can't wait. You nailed the analogy right on the head. It is definitely a kid in a candy store.
So they're not going to cool that turbocharger with oil. They're going to just let the fans run, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're going to spin it with a high voltage as opposed to exhaust gas or a belt with a turbocharger, exhaust gas, of course, supercharger with a belt. So they'll spin the turbine at high speed with electricity.
So interesting. So you're on the cutting edge. And of course, you're the curriculum developer for Delphi, senior field trainer. So you've got to keep, oh my God, on the cutting edge. So when you see new technology, your wheels are probably turning. How can I create awareness, bring this to people? Walk us through that.
The first challenge is finding out how it works. I've complained about this before. The service engineers that I was introduced to, I thought they were the smartest men and women in the world. They still are. People that have one foot in the design engineering world and the other foot squarely in our world, auto repair. So to make the service manuals, the scan tools, the flow charts, draw the schematics, make sure they're correct and easy to understand, the big picture, theory of operation, all those things used to be so well, in my opinion, so much better and more well done. Now that's kind of hit and miss and spotty, and it kind of boils down to a personnel issue. I mean, car companies sometimes make tough choices. Tier one suppliers make tough choices. Do we cut back on people or send people overseas, you know, in other jobs where the labor market's cheaper? For design or for service? And like, well, design always trumps service.
I hear that a lot, that the service information is available and it's there, but sometimes it's not always easy.
I need to write a class, actually, talking about writing, developing classes. What to do when the book is wrong. That needs to be the name of the class. And I've got so many examples. But I don't want it to be a gripe class. I want it to be a class where we learn and know, yeah, what do we do when the book is wrong? What other sources of information? So I've kind of dabbled in with some various ABI videos and so forth over the years, but I need to make it a formal class. But anyways, you gather the information the best you can, the most accuracy. Then you validate it yourself. You rent a car, you get a factory scan tool because the aftermarket won't be able to do the new car with the new technology, and you see what makes it work. And then this car, and this is the most important thing, you got to get, as soon as these things start failing and you see TSBs, you hear stories from dealers, and then it gets in the aftermarket, it's out of warranty. You start hearing the really good stories. Then you got to have field case studies to make your book relevant, to make your course where it really, really pops and the techs want to sit there because they know it's going to help them fix a car tomorrow. That's the challenge. It is. And, you know, I facilitate as well. You know, some companies that have aftermarket training, you know, have a big group of people, fancy garage and so forth to do all this. And others, you know, we're busy making the parts. So we don't have that big a staff, but we make it work, whatever our staff size is.
Dave, take us inside your world where you see some automotive innovations that are really mesmerizing to you.
Well, electrification right now is the biggie. ADAS is cool. I call them the sexy topics that people want to hear about in conferences typically. So ADAS is a hot one because, you know, I write for the Mobile Air Conditioning Society, MAX. And I do several of the MAX service reports per year. And I'm always trying to think of a new topic and so forth. And I thought ADAS, but do the people working on air conditioning and heating systems really care about ADAS? Because, you know, I do branch off into very electrical topics in these MAX service reports that, you know, do apply. Voltage drop's a voltage drop, whether it's a blower motor or AC compressor clutch or fuel pump. But then I realized, you know what, you got to take the grill out. You got to get to the condenser radiator if you're an H-Mobile HVAC specialist. And guess what you're moving, Carm? The radar sensor. Does it have to be calibrated or not? You know, if it's domestic, maybe not. Maybe. Depends on which domestic. Is it Euro or Asian? Probably. And so, yeah, I did a little write-up on that.
You put that grill back on and that radar. I mean, you've got that thing off a 16th of an inch. It just didn't go back on like a glove. Is that going to be an impact?
It does. There was a fellow that did a Honda factory class. He was a Honda factory trainer at St. Clair College, I don't know, 3 years ago or something. And in his PowerPoint, I recognized the building. My buddy used to run that particular Honda training center in New Jersey. And he's standing in front of the New Jersey Honda training center, which is a really long building. And he's got a brake rotor in his hands. And they take a picture of him on the sidewalk. And then they pull the camera back where you barely even see him. He's like a speck, you know, in the photo. And it's like, okay, this is 200 meters. Then they change the camera angle 1 degree or 1.5 degrees. And now he's from the sidewalk to the middle of the street. About the time your car needs to be slamming on a brake because there's somebody in the road, you know, and your radar should sense that and slow you down. Not seen because it thinks it, or thinks the person on the sidewalks in the street, which is bad because you slam on the brakes for nothing, the car does, or vice versa. It thinks that the person in the street is on the sidewalk, and that's really bad. Then guess what? Then you have to avoid the crash all by yourself, which a lot of consumers that are driving these cars, and this is the thing I really drive home to techs, service advisors, shop owners, we got to be in the education business ourselves, every one of us on this ADAS stuff, because there's customers get lulled into a sense of security, a false sense of security. They think the car's robotic, level 4 or 5. They don't need to really pay that close attention. And here this thing's off 1.5 degrees, and it's going to not see the person in the street and run right over them if you're not paying absolute close attention yourself, like you should be.
Hey, Carm here, and coming up, Dave has some interesting talk on ADAS and helping our customers with it. Hey, it's Carm, and I'm back to talk NAPA Auto Care and auto tech training. Now, as a repair shop owner, you know technical training is essential in the ever-changing world of automotive technology. Or as one auto care owner put it, train or you'll phase yourself right out of business. Thanks to NAPA Auto Tech, technicians can keep their skills sharp and their NAPA know-how up to date by attending hands-on classroom-style training for almost every vehicle make and model. You can choose from classes in diagnostics, heating and cooling, electrical electronics, brake systems, ignition and fuel systems, plus a whole lot more. NAPA Auto Tech is the highest quality training the industry has to offer, and it's presented by experienced instructors who are ASE Master Certified technicians. Now, some have owned their own shops, and they all have a detailed automotive background. The trainers consistently receive excellent ratings from the technicians who attend. Even after the class is over, techs can access course information online with ClassPass. So when questions come up later, they can use ClassPass to get the answers 24/7 from any computer with an internet connection. Now, what's more, NAPA Auto Tech has been accredited by ASE's Continuing Automotive Service Education Program, reviewed against industry standards, and approved by peers. Don't just take my word for it. Auto Care Center owners who have taken advantage of Auto Tech training say that well-trained technicians are helping to increase their shop's repair capability and raise bay productivity. Now, that results in fewer comebacks, more satisfied shop customers, and reduced technician turnover. It's hard to beat that. Your servicing NAPA store can tell you even more about the benefits of Auto Tech training, plus the many other reasons to become part of the NAPA family with over 17,000 NAPA Auto Care Centers from coast to coast, making it the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. Let me run this idea by you. There's some really smart shop owners out there that have realized that their RV, and they're the big RV people, that their RV owners just bought a brand new bus, if you will, and they don't know how to drive them. And so they hold classes to how to drive and back up this new, you know, $175,000 new mobile home. And you just gave me a great idea. Many shops, and again, forget COVID, put COVID on the side, but when things get back to normal, we'll hold, you know, car care seminars. Why not bring in on a monthly basis, you know, getting to know your ADAS equipped vehicle?
Carm, that's a genius idea. I'll just repeat that. That's worth repeating. A class instead of a general technology, we used to call them powder puff mechanics courses. Now we call them consumer maintenance courses to be more politically correct, but do an ADAS class. Anybody who has a Tesla or a titanium Ford or Toyota with safety sense, you know, just example, I just did a pair of two or three. I've been switching back and forth between the camera. I use this webcam I'm talking into now. I kind of hang it from the windshield, and then it's pointing at me. Then I have the laptop hooked up to factory scanner through the J tool, J2534, and I'm doing these tech tips, all right? And I did one on adaptive cruise control. We looked at some data PIDs, went back and forth, you know, because no one wants to see just screen capture only. That's really boring. So back and forth between me talking and the screen capture. And I made the observation in the road test, this car doesn't come to a complete stop. It's not a stop and go adaptive cruise control. But I was in another Toyota, same model year the week before, it did do complete stop and go. How do you even find that out unless you have the window sticker? It will usually say on the window sticker, but most VIN research databases don't go to that much detail. You're lucky if you get the paint code and the engine size, maybe the transmission. So how do we even know if it's got it? The owner's manuals are oftentimes ambiguous because the car could have or not have stop and go. And if it doesn't have stop and go, you got to be on that brake pedal when you hit about 25 as it slows down from 55. When the cars are stopped in front of you in that traffic jam on the highway, you got to be ready to slam on that brake pedal because the car may not, and it may not be broke. Why it doesn't, it's just not designed with the stop and go feature.
I observe everything when I'm out in the real world, and you know, you got to eat. So you're going shopping, you're doing some things. Of course, we're going to go buy a gift or two for the holiday as it's coming up and Thanksgiving dinner. And when I'm out, I'm looking at things, Dave, that amaze me. I'm looking at brand new vehicles, you know, and then you watch TV and it says 84 month financing. You know, I mean, that's a lifetime. The leases and the new purchases, I remember going to a supermarket and going up and down. I didn't see an old car. And it prompted me to think that either the economy is doing really, really well in my end of town, or there's an awful lot of people that are leasing and, you know, you just really can't tell. And my point about that training and what you just brought up, I may not be know exactly how every ADAS system works as a shop owner, but I could sure bring in people and get them to respect not to turn some of it off.
That's such a great idea. We need that as part of our customer services.
I bet so you bad. Could fill a class of 12 people every month.
Saturday afternoon, bring your cars in. We take ride and drives, you know, fill the back seat with the other folks. Well, we may have to wait. We have to mask up. I'm not sure what we're going to do in the short term on an idea like that. But one-on-one and stand in front of the, you know, the group, social distancing, mask, whatever your locality requires. But that is a great idea. You could even do a Zoom meeting with your customers.
Anything else that you see coming out that you've had the, you know, the luxury of seeing?
Well, I just attended a stop-start class last night online, speaking of Zoom, and I had a chance. It was only an hour, so the guy did a good job. I always try to be positive because I like positive feedback myself. He had 1 hour. I took a Peter Orlando CTI course here, I don't know, a year or two ago, and Peter, I know Peter. Peter and I are friends, been friends for decades, and he gets into something. He's totally into it. He did like 3.5 hours on stop-start.
Wait a minute. 3.5 hours of Peter Orlando?
Yes, that's great.
I've interviewed Peter. He was on a show. Were you on that show with us?
We were at Vision with G, Trulia, and Peter.
Yeah, remember that?
Myself. Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, my God, that was a riot.
Yeah.
And do you remember the real story behind that? I forgot to turn on the recorder.
Oh, yeah. We did it again. We were all pretty good sports about it because we've all done stuff like that.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it was the first time ever. And I looked down and the big red record button wasn't on. And I looked up at you guys and I said, stop. Oh, my God. And I apologize. And you guys say, hey, we've just rehearsed this.
This is the technician's version of I got the timing cover back on. And I forgot a bolt or a C-clip or something or other. You got to take it all back off. So you put that one in because you're conscientious. You're not going to be looking at a bunch of leftover hardware in the end of your toolbox, especially on something important. So we've all been there and done that. Our version of not turning the record button on.
But I rarely tell those behind the scenes stories and you just got me to. All right.
I look at them as teachable lessons. Learn from my stupidity, folks.
So you attended a Peter class last night, right?
No, not last night. It was another fella from Motorcar Parts of America, and he did a good job and really kind of has a good refresher. This is how I approach training with new technology. I've done this since the 80s with my mentor and inspiration, Gib Hunter from AC Delco. It's like that guy knows everything. He didn't know everything. He told people he didn't know everything. And he was actually an English teacher, not even a technician prior to getting into General Motors Train Center as an AC Delco instructor. But I would go there with my dad and we would take a course and we knew darn good and well we wasn't going to see any computer command control in our aftermarket auto electric shop for at least 2 years after that system came out and the warranty, you know, went through. But it was good to get ahead of the of the curve, and then we would go back and take a refresher. Sometimes the same exact course from Gibb, and we learned something we'd forgot and learned three or four other new things, and then because we'd see them in the shop then. And then after they've been out 5 years, then there's like an update course usually that happens, and we take that one. So I can totally relate to techs that sit in my classes or online with me, and they're like, I'm just here to get two nuggets because I know this system pretty well, and the other 24 nuggets of information that you're focusing on, I already know them. But if I get two new ones, it's worth my 2 hours sitting here.
Fill the nugget bucket.
Yeah. You've never quit learning. We're eternal students thanks to ever-evolving emerging technologies. The one thing I noticed on our bucket list of here things to talk about with CAN data. You know, CAN data is going to be eventually replaced, you know, with FlexRay and Ethernet, literally like the RJ45 jack in the back of your computer. And until then, it's been evolving itself. I've taught for years. We've had a great course. People receive it well. Our CAN data course, and we always focus on, okay, one of the things you can do that's quick and easy is take an ohm meter and touch pin 6 and 14 at the DLC. That's your high-speed CAN bus. With the key off, you should see 60 ohms. Two 120-ohm resistors in parallel become 60 ohms. Now I'm seeing 120 on certain cars. And I started investigating, thinking I'm doing something wrong or there's something broke on this car. And it's the way it's designed. It has to do with the cybersecurity nature of cars. If it does the module that you talk to that's connected to those two terminals as a DLC, is it a cyber secure gateway module or just a BCM or whatever is the closest thing in the loop of modules? And so I've discovered this new thing and I go, geez, here we go again. I'm glad it's on, you know, a fairly new car. I'm not seeing them on 3 and 4 year old cars. And then there's a gentleman, the science of diagnostics. I want to encourage you to Google that. There's a gentleman, I don't recognize him. He must be somebody that maybe is the heavy duty truck or implement dealer business, possibly. I don't know. But he does a really good YouTube, very high end, on active and passive termination resistors and switching termination resistors and some of the stuff that some of the other industries outside of just light duty trucks and cars are doing. So I encourage you to watch that because it's just changing all the time. I'm going to have to mix up and update my CAN course.
Amazing. You know, what we thought to be true today, and then you, like you say, you test it and it's not there. You think you have a problem, but you weren't aware that life changed right under your own nose.
Yeah, and it can be frustrating, hence that acronym that I started with when Paul Lauer says, come on down to AVI Studios, Fort Myers. I heard about you through Paul DiGiuseppe at Max. You can teach a class on data busing. And so I coined this phrase. I didn't actually coin it. My old coworker from the 80s at Delco Electronics, Dan Sublett. I don't know where Dan is these days. He went to Saturn, then General Motors, and I've lost track of him. I think he's in Texas. But Dan was a mentor of mine, and Dan came up with this acronym, FRED. And the F, it depends on what what audience you're in, but I've always used the G-rated version, frustrating, ridiculous electronic device. Dan had a great story how it evolved from ED, electronic device, to RED when service engineers, we were talking about earlier, seen the design and go, this is ridiculous. There's no way the technicians are going to fathom this very quickly. So we renamed ED to RED, ridiculous electronic device, and then, of course, the F for frustrating.
I'm really big on acronyms in our industry, and every time someone drops one, I have to say, can you really tell us exactly what that means? So
I'm a habitual teacher. Any email I do, I don't care who the audience is, I put in parentheses the acronym spelled out. It's like, I have to teach them, you know. You may know what it stands for because you've worked here forever, but you're still getting it spelled out in case it gets forwarded to somebody who doesn't know what that acronym is. That's a big pet peeve of mine. And I don't know why the OEMs have to call the same thing four different things. Unless it's an OBD2 thing, then they have to settle on IET and EGR and all that. It's an acronym soup. That's what Dave Scaler called it years ago. Acronym alphabet soup.
I'll never forget being in basic training, and the drill instructor was passing out mail. And when he came across a very long Slavic name, if you will, you know, there's like 26 letters in it. You can't even say it. he would introduce the, he says, Alphabet, you have mail. And he was able to pronounce my name, anyone else that had a really long, lots of consonants in their name, he wouldn't even try. He'd give him a nickname.
Every letter in the alphabet. You know, and you're so right, because you were in the service. Thank you for your service, by the way. You're in the armed forces. That's the only thing in the world that had more acronyms than the automotive industry is government.
And let me just say this. Every time they come out with a name of a new program, I want to know who's the secretary of acronyms in the federal government. They do an incredible job.
They do. They do. I've actually come up with a couple besides the Fred. I just kind of stole that from my buddy Dan Sublett. But in the technical assistance arena, I came up with WRAP, WRAP. Get close to Christmas. You'll be doing some wrapping. Hopefully, you won't be doing any wrapping in your shop because it stands for We Replaced All Parts. Instead of maybe the one or two that were really bad, you put them all. Sometimes they call it the shotgun effect.
But that's what the dealers do when they go so far. Yeah.
And then there's EWFN, everything working fine now. I love that one because the politically correct, it used to be no trouble found. And I think the lawyer said we could get in trouble with that somehow. So it was rephrased customer complaint not verified. CCNV.
Oh, man. I knew that if I sat down in the studio with you and we just dangled a topic or two, we would have so much fun.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's about. You should have fun at work.
You're going to come on an Aftermarket Weekly here in the next maybe 3 or 4 weeks. Everyone should see you come on and do that. And thanks for this. These are, it was just great just to shoot the breeze with you, man.
Yeah, enjoy your Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we appreciate all you folks that are hanging in there through the COVID times. You're out there working in your shops courageously, and you don't know what these cars and people have that come in your places, and you're essential frontline people. You're just like the first responders and the medical people. You're essential folks, and we appreciate your patronage. For training and for Remarkable Results Radio as well.
Thanks, man. I did an episode just earlier today, a few hours back, on the $1 million milestone that Breaks for Breasts reached that they do every October. And I had a Carmcast. If you want to go out and watch it, it was just really a fantastic one. And part of that, what hit me, Dave, was the fact that when we were labeled essential, and if you stop and think, we're essential. We're essential. You said we're essential. That's a powerful thought to have every day you go to work and every time you work on a vehicle.
It's sobering and humbling.
And I also did today, recorded an episode with Dr. Dave Wyman, and it was all about the stress of the holidays and the extra pressure that COVID is bringing to us. And I hope to have that out before I have this episode out because it's a timely thing. I want to try to get the message from Dave out to our industry so that they can hear what he has to say. And it was a great episode. So, hey, man, thanks for being here and being my friend.
Thank you. I can't wait to hear that episode as well.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.